Steve Gilbert, how are you this morning? Nice to have you. MLB.com. You cover the Diamondbacks. How are you?
Well, I think I'd be doing better if I were there. I'm already sitting out having some drinks with you guys.
I know.
That sounds like a great place to be.
I told Nick that we have some good Priest Ranch wine for you guys when you come up next week as well. So we're looking forward to seeing you.
Well, it's always good to get to the Bay Area. It's always nice to visit, and it's always good to be with you on a Sunday morning.
Great. Steve, I'm looking at a column that Buster Olney did this morning on ESPN, and the headline is Contenders on the Edge, Way Big Choices. Now, I know the Diamondbacks have lost six straight and, what, seven of eight, and things have sort of unraveled for them, but it's a long season. Are the Diamondbacks one of those teams that has to weigh big choices coming up in the next 6 weeks?
Well, I think to a certain extent they do, Marty, and just because I think they've always been trying to figure out, are they going to be a contender this year, or are they going to enter more of a serious rebuilding phase? Certainly the last six games have not been good for them. They've lost a bunch of games in the standings, but they're still, you know, like 2.5, I think it is, this morning out of the wild card. And, you know, just it is a long season, and there's still a bunch of weeks before the trade deadline. So I wouldn't push the panic button just yet, but certainly if this trend continues, I think you'll see maybe general manager Mike Hazen look to, instead of add at the trade deadline, maybe look to move some pieces to get some younger players back.
Who are the potentials to move? You know, I go through this bullpen list all the time, and Will Smith is clearly on it, Shane Green, Colome from the White Sox. Bullpen pieces seem to be the ones that people want these days, because you never know what you're going to get from year to year. Bullpen pieces that could move for the Diamondbacks?
Well, I mean, they do have. I mean, they have Greg Holland. You know, he's had a nice year minus his last game for them. So, I mean, from a bullpen standpoint, he's a guy that could be moved. But they've got something that's pretty valuable right now. And if they were to look to sell, and if they did decide to move Robbie Ray, I think he's a guy that would certainly intrigue a number of teams, a left-hander that throws in the 90s and has had success before, just sometimes had a little trouble with consistency the past couple of seasons.
Well, he's a five-inning guy, and baseball seems to like that now, especially if he can throw hard for five innings. So we'll see what happens there. Merrill Kelly goes today, 30 years old, and he's got an interesting story. He's from ASU. Our good friend Kerry Crowley will be on this morning. That should make him happy today. But, you know, Merrill Kelly, he's been a pretty good story. Look, he's 15 games. He's got 14 decisions, which means he must hang around. Give us the background on Merrill Kelly again.
Yeah, you know, he's from the Valley here in Arizona. And then he did go to ASU. He was drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays. Never really felt like he got his shot there. And when he had the opportunity to become a free agent, he went over to Japan. And Korea. And he pitched for 4 years over there. The Diamondbacks scout over there is doing a number of just about every team, I'm sure, but the Diamondbacks have some real good connections over there, and they liked what they saw from him. They thought he had the potential. His velocity spiked up a little bit last year, and they thought he could be a guy kind of like Miles Nicholas with the Cardinals when he came over from Japan. They felt like maybe Merrill Kelly could be at least something like that coming over from Korea. So they signed him to a very reasonable multi-year deal this offseason, and, you know, like you said, he sticks around. He pitches at least six innings in a game. Most of the time, he keeps his team in the game. And it's been kind of a fun story to watch a guy that does a really good job pitching the game plans. And that's really big for the Diamondbacks, because, you know, they have Dan Heron helping craft those pitching plans. And they take that very seriously. So if you have the ability to command your pitches and throw to that plan, that's something they really value in this organization.
Boy, Dan Heron is a familiar name. Of course, we saw him with the Dodgers. He was pitched all over the place with the A's, the Cardinals. What does he actually do? What is the pitching plan? Is he on the field? And what does he do?
No, you know, he works a lot from home in Southern California. I think it's Orange County is where Danny lives. And he'll pour through the upcoming series that the Diamondbacks are having. He'll pour through video. He'll pour through statistical data on the upcoming hitters and kind of put together what in his mind, would be a good way for them to attack those hitters. And then that all gets processed through the pitching coach and the assistant pitching coach, and it kind of goes from there. But he does come through. He does come through town. He was just in town this weekend, I believe. He's in town. And then he'll just kind of talk with the starting pitchers and just kind of get a feel for, you know, what they're looking for or what they're seeing out of his reports. It's, you know, it's become such a analytic-heavy and game-plan-heavy sport these days. And he's kind of there, done a nice job for them over the last couple of years, really helping with the pitchers. Zach, I think he loves talking pitching with them. They go back to their, you know, Dodger days, and Zach credits him for a lot of stuff.
Oh, very good. Interesting. Steve Gilbert giving a little insight into the Diamondbacks, how they prepare to pitch. Boy, it was nice watching the game on TV last night, and the roof was open, the panels were open. What a different ballpark you know, when everything is opened up, isn't it?
It's night and day. It's a total different feel when it has the roof open. And they've had the roof open. It's not that the temperatures are not over 100 degrees right now during the days, but now that they have this new synthetic turf, synthetic grass, they like it to be referred to, not turf, the synthetic grass that they have, they're able to keep that roof closed all day, Marty, whereas you remember in years past they had to open it up in the afternoon to get some sunlight on that field, and you know the whole ballpark would heat up, and then they'd have to close the roof because it was just too hot. Now they keep it closed all day and pump the AC into it. It's nice and cool, and then they open it up just before first pitch, and they're able to play with the roof open. We'll see how long that lasts. They're getting close to the record for longest, latest into the season that they've had the roof open.
Oh, nice. Do you think it'll be open today?
I do not think it'll be open today. We're going to be up over 100 degrees today, and so probably not for day games. But so far at night, they've been able to open it up. And like you said, it makes a huge difference just in the whole atmosphere in the ballpark.
Yeah, I love it. It looked great last night. Marte, he says he's got a cramp. He's going to play today. When I saw him limp off and holding that muscle, I said, no way. Do you think he'll play today?
I think he's desperate to play because he's so hot. I asked him, you know, if he was disappointed the night, you know, that he got injured, and he said that if he could right now, he'd play two 9-inning games. He'd play 18 innings every day if he could right now because of the way he's swinging the bat. I think that he's going to try. I think we'll see what the medical team says this morning. That'll be the more determining factor, I think. And I think Torrey's going to listen more to what they say than what Cattell says. But Cattell said yesterday that he wasn't feeling it anymore and that he would be good to go. So I guess we'll see. I think they should probably err on the side of caution with him, just given the great season that he's having. And if it was just a cramp, you certainly that's a lot better than a pulled muscle, and you don't want to end up having to be something more significant.
No, and plus he wants to be an all-star. He's third in the balloting, so he's in the next round. That's pretty good.
That's a dream for him, and you know, Cattell's a real refreshing guy to talk to from the standpoint of he'll tell you exactly what's on his mind. And so he's made no secret of the fact right from, you know, the beginning of spring training that making an all-star team is a dream come true for him and something that he's very big on doing.
I know you saw Charlie Blackmon this week who went nuts. So what do you think about Dickerson?
I heard Bob Brenly say during the telecast that Dickerson must be using the same locker in the visiting locker room that Charlie Blackmon used with the Rockies. Yeah, I mean, what a great story that is, right? He was waking up, he was sleeping in his apartment, right, in the minor leagues, and got called up, and then he had, you know, like 9 hits in 2 days or 9 RBIs in 2 days. It's amazing. They couldn't get him out the first 2 games of this series.
Now, 5-for-9 with 9 RBIs, the most any Giant has ever had in the first 2 games in the whole franchise history. So that's what he's done. Hey, one more thought for you. The Pujols return to St. Louis was very moving. We love St. Louis fans. You know, they're great fans, and they really embraced him. And I was thinking, even for the postgame show today, putting the question out, maybe your favorite moment of someone coming back, watching one of these nostalgic moments when a player comes back to the team that he left as a former player. Do you have one in mind?
That's a great question, Marty. I guess the one that jumped out as soon as you said that was, Randy Johnson left Arizona, probably not under the greatest of circumstances or terms to sign with the Giants to win his 300th game. Something I always felt was really unfortunate for the Diamondbacks organization and a big mistake on their part. And to see Randy after he got inducted into the Hall of Fame to come back to Chase Field, he got his number retired. To watch him kind of recreate that walk out of the bullpen from Game 7 of the 0-1 World Series, I think that was probably the one that'll stick out for me.
Ah, great. Great story. Steve, we love having you on. We look forward to seeing you next weekend. And we follow you on MLB.com, and I appreciate you always being on. Thank you.
Oh, Marty, always my pleasure. Have a great day.
All right, we'll see you next weekend up here. That's Steve Gilbert, MLB.com. He covers the Diamondbacks. More coming up right after this.